In the Victorian age, the second half of the 19th century, the ideal woman was a perfect self-sacrificing wife and mother. Writer Virginia Woolf described this angel in the house in a 1931 essay.
You who come of a younger and happier generation may not have heard of her. You may not know what I mean by the angel in the house. She was intensely sympathetic. She was immensely charming. She was utterly unselfish. She excelled in the difficult arts of family life. She sacrificed herself daily. If there was chicken, she took the leg. If there was a draft, she sat in it. In short, she was so constituted that she never had a mind or a wish of her own, but preferred to sympathize always with the minds and wishes of others.
Virginia Woolf went on to say killing the angel in the house was part of the occupation of a woman writer. A new generation of women goes further. In a book of essays called The Bitch in the House, 26 writers discuss their frustrations with balancing work, motherhood, and marriage, how they deal with sex, solitude, and identity, and anger, as in this excerpt from writer Elisa Chappelle.
But a couple of nights later, I am steaming artichokes and laying out chicken nugget, stars, and guitars, and it creeps back out. Miles has pinched Isidore's Triscuit and, with charming malevolence, slowly licked it top to bottom. Isidore screams, "Miles, stop licking your sister's food!" I scold. "Keep calm," I think. Isidore grabs the cracker and smashes it into his face. "It's my cracker!" Miles yells, grabbing back what's left of it. I slam down the cookie tray, the chicken nuggets leaping into the air as if alive. I cannot bear it when they hurt each other. "Stop it!" I say, grabbing Isidore by the shoulder. And to Miles, "No taking Izzy's food." "But Mommy, do you understand? Jesus!" I'm yelling now. These days, not only does it seem as though I'm constantly shrieking in frustration, I am boggled by the banality of what I'm yelling about. "Don't hug the cat that way. No, you can't have beef jerky for breakfast. Did I hear a thank you? Barbie's head does not go on Ken's body. Get up. Sit down. Are you trying to kill me? Do you want my head to explode? And who do you suppose is going to clean that up? Huh? Don't look at me, pal." I ought to wear one of those bracelets that say WWMBD on them. What would Mrs. Brady do?
Essayist Elisa Chappelle, she and the book's editor, Kathy Hanauer, joined us in NPR's New York Bureau this week to explain what it means to be the bitch in the house.
I think some women are proud to call themselves bitches because they feel like it means that they're able to speak up and not embarrassed about that they're not the angel in the house. I think also for me, you know, I would not like to be called a bitch even though I was calling myself one. I think I would like to be able to have all the things I have and love and am grateful for without feeling angry and tired and stressed out.
And so a lot of these essays do talk about anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that isn't really talked about a lot with regards to women and motherhood, especially.
Right. Yes, I think that one of the things The Bitch in the House does is allow women to say the things that have not been said. And anger is one of those things. Sexuality is another one, talking about married sex and what it's really about. But yes, I think, you know, Elisa Chappelle's piece deals with getting angry at your children. And I think that it's something women do. Mothers get angry at their children, but very few of them up until recently have been able to admit that.
It's so verboten in society to admit that you have anger towards your children.
Oh, absolutely.
Elisa?
No, I mean, saying that you get angry at your children or that you have complicated feelings about being a mother is, you know, the only thing that would be, I can't imagine anything worse. You know, you're better off saying you eat baby koala meat, right? It's absolutely...
It's been taboo. And yet, show me a mother that doesn't get angry at her children. It's the reality of parenting.
But does it... You talk about the banality of what you get angry at.
It's staggering to me. I never imagined that I would become this person. I never imagined myself as a mother. In fact, it wasn't until I had my daughter that it fully dawned on me what it really meant to be a mother. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I had no idea how much I could possibly love and fear another human being and what it meant to be the center of someone's life. And that can be both really thrilling and really scary when you see what that means and what you're capable of. And I think that's part of what a lot of us are wrestling with. It's that idea of what it means to go from being a woman, making that transition from being a woman to being a mother, and what we give up and what we gain.
Let's talk about sex.
Okay.
Okay. So a lot of this book does deal with sex, does deal with the myths surrounding sex or what's really happening in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Kathy, can you talk about that a little bit?
I wanted to debunk some sexual myths that I think our country has been living with for way too long. One of those is the myth of passionate sexual marriage for 60, 70, 80 years. I think marriage can be passionate, marriage can be wonderful, marriage can be sexual, but I get annoyed at the constant media barrage of everybody as a sexual being all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that there are times in your life when you are and times in your life when you're not. There are not too many women I know with two small children or one small child and a job who are switching into the negligee the minute they get home, you know, and finish their work and the dishes and the children's schedule for tomorrow. And then there's this myth that you're supposed to be this fiery sex kitten at night. It's just not true.
Meaning your husband at the door wrapped in saran wrap.
Exactly.
Smelling of Play-Doh. Very sexy.
And several of the authors in The Bitch in the House talk about this. Monogamous marriage, to me, in some ways, is contrary to passionate sexuality. I think that sometimes passion is founded on mystery and romance and even something bad in quotes. And marriage is about security and comfort and love and seeing the person every day and seeing him floss his teeth at night. And there's the kind of sex
I hear violin.
There's the kind of sex you have when you're young and single and it's all a big mystery and a big game. And then there's married sex. And sometimes, you know, it can be the same thing, but I think often it's not.
Mm-hmm. So what do you say to the women who haven't gotten married or haven't had children? And they listen to you and they say, well, if I'm going to turn into a bitch, why bother? Why should I go down this road?
I say, go down the road, make your choices carefully, read and think and talk as much as you can about what you're thinking about doing before you do it, and then go and do it. And I would not trade a thing in my life.
Being a mother is very cool.
I would hate to think that I turned anyone off to motherhood or to having a job or to trying to, quote, juggle it all. I just think that it's worth thinking about. I mean, I hope that my daughter will read this book before she embarks on whatever she decides to choose.
I think it's necessary for this book to exist, if only to counter all those books that are out there telling you that if you bake the perfect bran muffins and put the right diapers on your child and play Mozart, you know, you're going to have a happy kid, and this is what motherhood is all about.
And life will be perfect. Life isn't perfect. One of the things,
but it's great.
Yeah, but it's great. And I think one of the things I learned doing this book and that the book shows is that the grass is not always greener. In fact, It you know, whatever choice you make, there are going to be consequences, and you need to work and accept them and try to be happy.
Editor Kathy Hanauer and essayist Elisa Chappell joined us in NPR's New York Bureau this week. The book is called The Bitch in the House.